Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we go behind the headlines. For weeks now, the headlines have told us about instances of sexual harassment and abuse. The stories have inspired what some are calling a movement, as women all over the country and the world have been coming forward to tell their stories of inappropriate behavior and to find ways to curb it. Two of them are with us. Sarah Durrett is the founder of Combat Sexual Harassment, a St. Louis grassroots organization to help those who have experienced harassment as she had and to help prevent it. St. Louis's 15th Ward Alderman Megan Green is also a victim and has told her story in some detail on Facebook. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Megan Green, let me begin with you. What caused you to come forward as you did and in such detail as you did on Facebook?
So, you know, when Me Too, you know, really started to, I think, take off about maybe 2 months, a month and a half ago, I mean, I started to get kind of this visceral response to it, you know, a lot of triggering of some things that I had gone through and trying to process that and figure out, like, who do I want to tell this story? Do I want to you know, put myself out there like that? And then, and also thinking, you know, my role as elected official, you know, part of it needs to be leading and setting an example that we shouldn't have to live in the shadows when we've gone through these things, that it's not our fault. And even though society often, you know, puts the blame on us as victims. And so it took me a very long time to find the words for it. And then earlier this week, the words just finally started to come. And I wrote the post basically, you know, hopefully to start to create that safe space where more women feel like that they can come forward and share their stories without judgment.
And your story, very briefly, is, I shouldn't be telling it, but just to keep it brief, you were abused as a very young child and it went through a lot of harassment during your high school years.
Yes.
And there are other parts to the story. People can read the post on Facebook. Sarah, let me get your story, too. What caused you to form this grassroots organization?
Sure. So, well, I lived down off of Del Mar for a little while in 2013, and my car had broken down. So I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to start taking the Metro, take the bus to work, no problem, be easy. And as I was doing so, I started experiencing street harassment almost constantly. If it wasn't every day, it was pretty close. And it just didn't sit right with me, of course, and it shouldn't have, but I just never experienced anything like that before. And I have been involved with, you know, just keeping up with the news in Egypt for quite some time. It's been an interest of mine since I was a kid. And I saw this video of a woman being attacked by, you know, 10 different guys and down in Tahrir Square when they had their revolutions. Yeah. And I was shocked. I was like, my gosh, this exists in the world. So I actually moved to Egypt and stayed there for a year. And then I was experiencing harassment multiple times a day, every day while there, because they have a very large problem. But they also have a lot of organizations that are combating it themselves. I came back to Missouri after a year, and then several months afterwards, more than a year afterwards, I came back to closer to downtown St. Louis. And again, I was taking the Metro and experiencing it all over again. I was like, you know what? It's happening in Egypt and people are doing something about it. I should too. And just like what Megan said, like, we need to create spaces where people can share their stories and be okay with doing so and actually trying to make changes.
Megan, are we at the front end of a movement, do you think? An awful lot is going on. An awful lot of people such as you two are speaking out. What's going on?
I mean, I certainly hope that this is the front end of a movement. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we've had issues with sexual harassment and sexual abuse, you know, going back to this country's founding. And when you have, you know, a very male-dominated political environment, I think we often don't get laws that protect victims in the way that they need to protect them. Nor do we have a political system that sets the cultural standard for how women need to be treated. And so I hope, if anything, this is starting to bring more to the public consciousness that these are very deep-rooted issues. It's not going to be easy to change a national culture around this. But if we have more women speaking out and folks seeing really how systemic this is, hopefully we can start to really create change.
Sarah, do you feel that you're part of a movement?
For sure. And it's kind of funny because when I started it, it was 2 weeks before the movement started. Mm-hmm. So it's been like a wave, like a tsunami wave that's been pushing everything forward, which is such a blessing to see. So yes, for sure. Of course, I feel like I'm part of a movement. I hope more people join because it doesn't have to be someone starting an organization. Anyone can start standing up and speaking out.
Where are you now in the structuring of this organization?
It's in some of the beginning ages. I'm really focused on networking with people such as Megan and other organizations like Safe Connections that's here in St. Louis. They help people with against that have experienced sexual assault and domestic violence and other organizations. Soon I want to start implementing creating actual businesses, like grassroots businesses that are really structured in their neighborhoods to start seeing if they want to become like a network of safe spaces that if someone runs in and says, hey, I just experienced sexual assault or sexual violence or harassment, can you help me, protect me, that they'll be a part of that. So there's different ideas. It's in the beginning of the making the actions happen kind of stage.
Megan, what do you think of this? Is this something that you could partner in, do you think?
I think definitely. I mean, we need to be partnering as elected officials with grassroots organizations and with, you know, issue advocacy organizations that are working on these issues. You know, I've worked closely in the past with like Crime Victim Advocacy Center and Legal Advocates for Abused Women. And we were able to pass some legislation at the board to make sure that victims of domestic violence weren't being evicted from their housing under the nuisance property law. We also were able to pass a bill down at the board last year that gave 2 weeks of unpaid leave to domestic violence and sexual assault victims so that they're able to go to doctor's appointments, they're able to go to court dates, they're able to do all the things that they need to do to move their cases forward without fear of losing their job.
What else do you think could be done at this stage? I mean, obviously you're talking about domestic abuse, and that's certainly an important issue. But with regard to the harassment and sexual abuse, what could the Board of Aldermen do?
I mean, I think we need to lead by example. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't always had the best culture at the Board of Aldermen in terms of the way that women are treated. There's often a culture where women are talked over. And, you know, I've seen women on the board be called stupid before, called little lady, or had remarks made about the clothing that they're wearing. And, I mean, we need to be the ones setting the example, just like Congress does, just like our General Assembly needs to, because we're the ones who set the stage for all of this.
Both of you have used and employ social media as part of what we're talking about here today. Sarah, explain how you're doing that and how effective you think that can be for you and for your organization.
Oh, sure, definitely. Social media is our form of communication now. The internet, you know, everyone's got a smartphone, everyone's interconnected with each other. It's the easiest and fastest way to get your word out. So I highly believe in using social media. And like we saw with the Me Too hashtag movement, that was social media based. So for sure, combat sexual harassment will use this predominantly to be able to reach out and start the discussion. So I've been using it to highlight even news stories in the area. I want combat sexual harassment to be a good place for resources that people can go to. Like I just partnered up in networking with a local lawyer or lawyer firm, several lawyers there that help people with sexual harassment issues at their workplace. And I've, you know, announced it on my social media page and so on and so forth.
You have a blog as well.
I do. I'm starting the blog as well, but it's kind of a mixture of a lot of things, links, blogs, Facebook page. My Facebook page is probably the most up-to-date out of everything. So yes, it's huge for me.
Megan, it certainly has worked for you. I looked this morning. I think you're very close to 1,000 people who have responded to what you have written.
I mean, in a way, social media creates a safe space. You know, sometimes it's very hard to tell the stories in person without getting emotional, without, you know, breaking into tears. But if you can sit down and you can formulate your thoughts and put it into something that is digestible and put it out there, you know, it does make you vulnerable, but it also I think is a, you know, sometimes an easier mechanism than, you know, standing up in front of a group of people and sharing your story.
Sarah, what are you doing to recruit people to the cause?
Actually, to be honest with you, I have a lot to thank for you guys because it's kind of just happened naturally since the article that I've had a few people contact me that want to volunteer because they believe in what we're doing and what we're trying to do. They believe in the mission to be able to get the word out. So I'm not even having really to do too much right now. People just know that sexual harassment is wrong and we need to do something about it.
I also understand that you're conducting a survey of some sort. What is that survey all about?
Sure. So I've been in network with, there's an organization in Egypt, Cairo, Egypt, called Harass Map, and they've been extraordinarily effective in Cairo and all throughout Egypt to be able to combat sexual harassment in their country. And they initially, when they started out with a survey. And with that survey, they've been able to implement changes in neighborhoods where there's been hot spots, you know, people identifying that, you know, say this particular neighborhood in Cairo is really bad and there's a lot of sexual harassment going on. So I want to do similar and also helps with just statistics, you know, what's the age group range that's being affected? What type of harassment are they having? Is it a lot of touch harassment? Is it words? Are people being followed? And with that information, I hope to go to city officials and companies and so on and say, hey, this is a problem. This is what we need to address.
Well, Megan, do you think the politicians in the city of St. Louis would be responsive to a survey such as that?
I do. I definitely do. I mean, I don't think in particular there's a woman on the board who hasn't experienced street harassment. And in my post, it was one of the things I talked about, too. You know, the fact that we can't go to the grocery store without somebody asking us for our number or following us to our car or talking about our butt and you know, and how that becomes so taxing after a while. And, you know, how you can't go for a run without somebody slowing their car down and starting to follow you and how creepy that is. And I mean, those are cultural changes that we need to make. And I hope if the board gets this data, that then we can form some good policies to start to help change culture.
Well, we have to take a break now. You two can compare notes during that break and find out ways you can collaborate together. Let's do that now and come back. We're talking about sexual harassment. We're talking about what appears to be a movement. I think it's not too early to say that women are gathering together and banding together to curb and stop sexual harassment. Back in a moment, my guests are Sarah Durrett, co-founder of Combat Sexual Harassment, and Alderwoman Megan Green. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. We are back now with our continuing discussion about inappropriate sexual behavior with Alderwoman Megan Green and Sarah Durrett of Combat Sexual Harassment. We have an email here from Madonna in Crestwood who writes, "How do we address sexual harassment amongst elected officials if a giant voting bloc doesn't believe it's a problem to begin with?" Megan?
You know, I think that we have to mobilize our voting bloc. I think that the majority of Americans, if you ask them if they thought that sexual harassment was acceptable, would tell you no. The key is finding our voters and getting them out there to the polls. I mean, we're in a place right now where we're in, you know, in a couple of days, we may be electing a child molester or a pedophile to the Senate in Alabama, and how scary that is. But we need to do our work to mobilize our voters, especially, you know, specifically around this issue.
Sarah, so many politicians have been kind of swept up in this recently. Do you have faith in the political system to deal with this?
Oh, maybe I'm asking the wrong person. I've stayed away from politics for several years. It's never been really my forte. But it's one of those things that I believe that with this, I'm hoping that we're going to root out the people that are doing the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And that we can clean it up so we can have people come forward that are doing the right things. So do I have faith for the future? Yes. I just don't know what that'll look like right now.
amongst the things that you're doing, specifically with regard to your blog, I know that you've been giving advice on aside from safe places, which is one that obviously you're stressing, but other things such as self-defense, for instance.
Right. I'm huge into the aspect of self-defense. I've been fortunate enough to go to a self-defense school / studio for, I started about 4 years ago, and then I moved to Egypt, and I didn't go back for quite some time, and now I'm back for the past couple months or so. And really, really thankful because my instructor, I go to Sistema, which is something that most people don't know about. It's a Russian-style martial art. And he teaches people real life situations. And that's what I want to teach other people, not as me as an instructor, but I want people to know about. Because if you know your surroundings, it makes it so much better for you to be able to avoid a sexual assault situation or mugging or anything else. It doesn't mean that it's your fault when it happens. I'm just saying that when you're aware of your surroundings, it'll be less likely to happen. So yes, I think that's a very important aspect in doing this whole thing and why I kind of named it combat sexual harassment. I don't want it to be just, you know, tips and tricks. I want it to be something that is useful in day-to-day life for people.
What do you think of that, Megan, the idea self-defense classes and that sort of thing?
I mean, ideally, we would want to have an environment where self-defense classes aren't necessary. Right. You know, we shouldn't be at a place where women are fearful of walking down the streets by themselves or going to the grocery store or whatever it is. And while I think that's maybe a good short-term solution, I mean, what we need to be working toward is completely changing the culture so that that's not even necessary.
And that requires educating the public. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize the things that you've been saying about you can't walk down the street without somebody saying something at one point or another.
I think that's very true. I mean, and I think that even we see, you know, the cues that we're getting from media and in movies and you know, the number of things where, you know, you'll watch a sitcom and somebody, you know, in it grabs a woman's butt or grabs her breast and it's funny. Well, that's not funny. That's sexual assault. And we have to start calling it that and recognizing it as that and saying that, you know, we're not going to tolerate it.
One of the things I note, Sarah, with regard to some of the things I've read about you is you want to educate people to recognize harassment when they see it. Should that be difficult?
It is difficult. It should not be difficult. For people, a lot of times, even when I've been sexually harassed, and it's happened more times than I can count, is that people will idly stand by or sit and watch or snicker or, you know, just let it happen. And they're not getting themselves involved either because they're in agreement with the sexual harassment, which is a huger problem in itself, or they just don't feel safe to get involved, or they don't want to be involved in some sort of way. I'm still trying to hack that bystander culture. It's a bystander culture where people just watch and they don't do. They pull out their cell phone or they just look and they let it happen, which is something that I'm so hugely against. And actually, I made a 17-ish long minute video of me explaining myself getting involved when I was the bystander and some other girl was getting sexually harassed at the Del Mar metro station. So yeah, it's a problem because it's going to take a lot to educate people to resist doing that.
Where do we go from here, Megan? And I mean literally from here, with you two meeting together here for the first time and hearing each other's stories. Where do we go from here?
I mean, I think that on a local level, there's definitely a commitment to work together on these issues. You know, from the moment I even said that I was running for office, working on women's issues were, you know, particularly around sexual assault and harassment and domestic violence were things that I, you know, really put out there because of my background and some of the things that have happened. But I think what we're going to need is some larger structural changes too. I mean, we need some resignations from these elected officials that are engaging in this behavior. And if that means, you know, we're hearing now 20 or 30, you know, congressional people may have an expose on them, you know, coming out shortly. If that means 20 or 30 resignations, then so be it. If that's what has to happen to really send that message home and start to create change, then that's what we need to do. Obviously, we've needed a wake-up call for a while, and we have to be at the point where we're just saying this isn't acceptable anymore.
I heard Amy Klobuchar, senator from Minnesota, today, and Al Franken, of course, being the other senator from Minnesota. They're very friendly, and she said, you know, I hated to do this, but it had to be done.
I agree.
Going to have to just, you know, lace them up. And what do you think? Where do you go from here, Sarah?
Well, on a local level, for sure, we need to, a lot of people actually don't even understand the laws for sexual harassment and don't even know their rights or even understand what is considered okay or not okay, because we were so conditioned to think that this is just a part of the life of a woman. So for me personally, I want to start educating on that and start letting people understand that, hey, you do have rights. And that situation that happened at work, you can do something about it. And when someone brushes their hand up against you on the street, that is an offense. Like, you can do something about this and start going from there on a local level and then kind of just spreading out from there.
Well, we've got to wrap this up, and we're talking about things happening on the street. I'm going to take a quick call from Jesse in St. Louis, who apparently has some advice on this particular issue. Jesse, go ahead, please, but make it quick, if you would.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate the conversation. I pretty much just wanted to mention, I've been inspired by people like the young lady who started the movement of the selfies with a cat caller, like the women you're saying. I don't like just being silent and letting it pass on. And so I've started, like, when I get talked to inappropriately and stuff, I try to turn around and say, hey, do you have a mom? Do you have a sister? Do you have a daughter? Like, how do you feel about people like that talking to you like that? I've been catcalled that were old enough to be my grandfather, and then me turning around and saying, you know, I could be your granddaughter. How do you feel about that? I'm curious how your panelists feel if that's something that's kind of dangerous, because I feel like I'm on the cusp sometimes, or if they feel like that's kind of the proactive behavior I should be doing, telling people it's not okay at the time. And I don't want to say embarrassing them, but sometimes that's the best thing to do, I feel.
I'll
take my answer off the air.
We have your point. Thank you very much. I'll get a quick response. I'll start with you, Sarah.
Oh, sure. No, that's fantastic. I applaud you 1,000% for being able to speak up and do that, because that's hard. I do the same thing, actually. I might not say the exact same words, but I called out a guy on the bus who was staring up and down and moaning at a girl that was sitting on the bus just behind us. So yeah, that's huge. That's also another reason why I really advocate self-defense, because if you do put yourself in a situation, it's good to know what to do if something turns bad. But I don't want to scare people off from doing it. It's just a part of the whole thing that I believe in.
Thoughts, Megan?
I mean, I definitely agree. When part of changing culture is calling it out when we see it. Obviously, we don't want anybody to put themselves in danger in doing that. But I also think that the more people call it out and they recognize it, it creates awareness around other folks who are then also willing to start to call it out and to talk about it and elevate the issue. And that's what we need to change culture.
Right. I have to wrap it up, but I'll point out, we're going to put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. People can get more information from that as to how they might become involved with your organization to combat sexual harassment.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, Sarah, I want to thank you so much. That's Sarah Durrett, the founder of Combat Sexual Harassment, with me in studio, along with 15th Ward Alderwoman Megan Green. Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck to both of you with what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.